How's it going, folks? Blind Bargains cast number 202, which is one of those palindrome episodes of the Blind Bargains cast, and it's a Features BBQ Bites week. You know what? We could even make the podcast this week symmetrical, kind of like a palindrome. We're getting pretty geeky here, aren't we? We have a couple of interviews that we've had in the can, actually one that we recorded a few weeks ago, and one that I just did this week, and we also have a tip. Hey, the Echo Tips podcast with David Ward as well. So, we have a couple different interviews. One with Lisa Dalton. The company is CanDoable. And this is a really cool way to label stuff, whether it's cans of soup or cans of beer or anything in between. So, we're going to have that in just a minute. A little later on, we're going to bring on Andrea Giudice. She is with a company called Midlina. I ran into her at the NFB of Colorado convention at the end of October. And she is working with a company that has a way to take graphics, like maps and other things, and turn them into accessible renderings using an iPad. So imagine going to a hotel and trying to find your way around. Well, this is another one of those ways that it could help someone down the line gain more access to information and have some very tactile mapping experiences. So that's a little bit later on in the podcast as well, along with the Echo Tip from David Ward. Probably more of a regular show again next week. Who knows? We got two more before Christmas and then the end of 2019. So let us know what you think were the best stories of 2019. Email feedback at blindbargains.com and we'll be recording that in the coming weeks. But first, let's go to the interview that I just did this week with Lisa Dalton from CanDoable here on Blind Bargains Cast 202.
This is the Blind Bargains Cast.
Welcome back to the Blind Bargains Cast. We continue to talk about really cool ideas and gifts for the holidays. Hey, I found another one a few weeks ago, and I'm very excited to bring on Lisa Dalton from a new company called CanDoable. CanDoable makes labels for, well, cans and other things called CanDo labels. Welcome to the podcast, Lisa.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
So I found you guys through National Braille Press. You were selling a few labels for there. Then I come on your website and I find out that you have labels for everything from regular food items to beer and everything else in between. Yeah. Tell us a little bit about the labels and where you got the idea.
So again, thank you for having me. I guess my story starts about a little more than a year and a half ago. I actually met and began dating another collaborator here at a co-working space. And, in getting to know him and spending time with him, I accidentally made that classic boo-boo of going to his house and making a grocery list and moved his cans around in his pantry while we were making the list.
Uh-oh.
I had no idea. And basically really screwed him up in trying to right my wrong. Tried looking online for some sort of labeling system that would work for him that didn't require him to basically sit down and have a craft project night of recreating labels, and was really surprised to not be able to find what I had in mind. So with my 3D printing knowledge and background, I decided to start mocking up a surprise to him of making labels for the stuff that I knew were staple items in his house. And once I gave them to him, he kind of chuckled and was like, "What are these?" And said, "These are so awesome. You need to make them for people." And that's how we got started. That's obviously over many iterations of kind of working through the different things that I wanted them to achieve. So now you can throw them in ice chests. You can put them in the fridge. I test them out in freezers. They work great. They have a little bit of boing to them so they don't snap. And now it's taken off and it's really exciting because people all over the country are now using them and I'm getting good feedback. So it's wonderful.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you were at a co-working space, which I love co-working spaces. I work at one often as well. What were you doing there before CanDoable? Are you still doing that?
So I actually am, this is even weirder. I am a custom brick maker. And so I joined this community here wanting to learn more about 3D printing because I wanted to be able to print my own concrete stamps. And so that's kind of how I got into that method of, you know, manufacturing custom plastic pieces. And was able to use that skill set and kind of pivoting here into CanDoable. So it's pretty wild.
And about the last thing that you have, you expected you would be doing right about now, I'm sure.
You know, it's one of those things where if you keep an open mind, like your life will kind of pivot and turn the way that you're supposed to be. And I absolutely feel like, you know, all of the ducks were put in a row for me to be able to do this. And it's just so awesome. I can't even believe it sometimes.
That's really cool. I love the story. So why don't you tell us a little bit about the labels and describe how they look or how they feel?
They're rigid, like almost like an incomplete circle shape. And what you do is you actually press the opening of the label onto the can and kind of like snap it on, sort of like a cuff bracelet. And then the labels have the braille molded into the plastic on the front face. And then they have engraved text, obviously corresponding to the braille on the inside. So if you have a household with both sighted and visually impaired people, everyone knows what that label says. So then, like I said, they're kind of rounded off, so they're not so sharp. And then they can go on pop and beer cans in ice chests and in the refrigerator. And I make them for jars. And I really spend a lot of time in the grocery store with calipers, measuring as many products as I possibly can in order to make sure that even regionally, all the different foods are covered. But I'm super open to suggestions if anybody has something they don't see.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. As far as cans, there's so many different sizes, even of the same product. So how universal are they? Or do you have to get a different size for, you know, depending on which type of can you buy? Or
so the way that they're made is they fit so snugly onto the can. If it's a reasonable difference, a few millimeters maybe, they have enough what I call boing in them that they will actually just snap around it. But I'm working on increasing sizes. I see as we get closer to the holidays, a lot more bigger size cans of things are being made available. So I'm trying to break it down so that if you're buying those huge family cans, they'll have a different size option in the drop down for buying whatever can size you need, because it does matter.
The thing I like about this too is, of course, they're reusable. You can move them from can to can.
Absolutely.
It makes them, you know, you don't have to keep doing braille labels on every single time you know, buy a can and label it and then it away. And
yep, you can rinse them off. And I have obviously the original person that I made them for still uses them. And that was, you know, early versions and over a year ago, and they're still perfectly fine. And I tried to make as many different varieties as I possibly can, but there are a lot of different container sizes. So it's been an adventure. Yeah,
inevitably,
sure.
Whatever you make, someone's going to write you and say, hey, can you add this one or do this thing, right?
Yeah. And you know, the way I look at that is it takes me a little more time to get that made and make sure that it fits the product that they're asking about. But I just throw that into the library and make it available to others, because I'm sure other people will want that as well. So
do you end up going to the store, or do you actually end up buying the can and have like a whole variety of food in your house now?
I don't do that. I started doing that, but then I just found that that's a lot of money, like to make sure I have every can. So now the sweet people at the local grocery store will let me just go in there with my calipers and a clipboard and just measure everything. They don't give me weird looks anymore. So that's kind of awesome. I would say
that must have been an interesting look the first time. Like, what is she doing?
Yeah. It's kind of interesting to explain to people kind of what I'm doing. And most of the time it's really interesting to see their faces change when they realize like, oh yeah, I guess that is a problem. So then they let me carry about my business. So it's, yeah.
But once you have the design, I mean, for various can sizes, you just go in and you put in the characters, the letters for whatever the product is. And it's probably pretty easy. I'm sure you have it down to a bit of a template or a science now.
Yeah. And I've made so many now that it's more of a just got to sit down and do it. You know, it's.
How many letters or characters can you put on a single label? Does it depend on the size of the item?
It depends on the size. But, you know, some like light red kidney beans, that's a pretty long one that fits on one. And of course, they're available contracted or uncontracted. So obviously that depends too. So that way early.
Could I come to you too and just give you like, this is the exact wording that I want, I guess, if you don't have it, you know, might have to pay a little more for the custom or?
No, I don't charge more for the custom. It's important to me that people have what they want and shouldn't cost more, I don't think. So you can order a custom label on my website, and that actually allows you to type in exactly what you want on the label. I just encourage people to make sure that it's spelled correctly, and I will make it exactly the same. So if you want any capitals or anything like that, just type it in exactly how you want it. And then, I just make it for them. Obviously, I can't resell those, or I wouldn't. But for the other specialty foods and things like that, I just go ahead and try to add them to the library of labels that are available.
That's very cool. How much are they?
They're $3.
Okay. And do they come as singles, or is there discounts for buying like, you know, 10 or 20 or
So the only ones that I really discount are the pop and beer labels, because I sell them in 12 packs to make it, you know, fresh and friendly. And I just feel like that was too much money to for someone to pay for a 12 pack of, you know, Dr. Pepper labels or whatever. So I do have those at a cheaper cost, but everything else, for the most part, they come in packs of two. Some of the more specialty recipe piece type things that you would really only have one of, I sell them individually, but almost all of them are available in two packs. And then the custom labels are just one unless you order more than one.
That's a really interesting use case, you know, thinking about doing it for, and you call it poppy from Midwest.
my parents are both from Chicago area, so that.
Okay. Yeah. I'm like, wait a minute, nobody calls it pop except for us up here in Michigan. Okay.
Being this close to California, I get a lot of flack for calling it pop, but that's
yeah. What I mean,
it
is being anywhere that's not the Midwest, you'd get a lot of flack for calling it pop. Yeah. But I mean, digging into the cooler of stuff, I mean, just having the, you know, everything floating around, I mean, these things would survive that. It'd be interesting, I guess, just to, instead of having to keep them all sorted.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, absolutely. And that was actually inspired by an experience I had at an Arizona conference. And I had just developed these and wanted to see if people were even really interested in having something like this. So I got a booth and I had my basically prototypes at that point. And, you know, people were coming through and I was introducing them to the concept and I had them on cans, food cans and stuff. And one lady pulled me aside and said, you know, these are so great and they would have been so helpful to me because I used to pack my husband's lunch for work and he works for the government. And one day I accidentally packed him a beer. And so he sat down in the community lunchroom or whatever and was unpacking his stuff. And he had a Coors Light and not a Diet Coke.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. And she's like, you know, he could have been fired. And now it's in me that I don't want to pack his lunch because I can't risk it. And, you know, these would have been so helpful to me. And at that point, I was like, okay, that's it. We're doing everything. There's no limit to where these can be helpful. So that woman actually inspired.
Yeah, especially in mixed households when you do have,
kids and I mean,
kids or anyone that's going to move everything around, and you can develop a system all you want.
Yeah.
You know, but as soon as somebody comes in and then just, you know, not even on purpose, they just start moving things around.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think if, you know, you're at a party or barbecue or, you know, we do a lot of cookouts and things and you reach into an ice chest, you want to be able to, you know, not have to test it out and be like, oh, that's orange. If you wanted a beer or vice versa, I think it should just be as easy as reaching in and reading what it is and being like, oh, I don't want Sprite, and put it back, you know?
Yes. That gives me my next product idea for you. Going to hotels, if you could develop a regular and a decaf to fit on the coffee carafes.
Ooh.
Because there's nothing worse than going to a hotel and then realizing it's decaf.
That's the whole point.
No.
Yeah. I'm with you on that.
And then if they would know what they are, then could they could just pop them on in the morning. That would be amazing.
That would be amazing. I will get right on that.
That would be so cool. We can see them in it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, that's the beauty of 3D printing and being able to use that sort of tool is it's such a great problem solver for some of like everyday life problems. And I'm so cognizant of how fortunate I am to be able to, through the printers and the materials and the people that I have available to me that have helped me throughout this process, be able to make such a simple, I know it's probably your most low-tech tool that you guys have maybe talked about on here, but it doesn't need to be any higher tech. You know, in my opinion, folks that maybe don't have smartphones or don't have access to the internet all the time or maybe older and don't want to learn technology, like this still solves that problem for them. And then also some of us that, you know, want to go to the mountains or go camp or maybe don't have cellular signal can still use these and know what they're doing.
Yeah. And sometimes it's just quicker to look at something like this. Yeah. You know, we sell labels that you can use with a smartphone, which I think have a great use. But, you know, sometimes you just want something really, really simple.
Right now. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
It's like, I don't want to dig up my phone to figure out what kind of pop this is or whatever. So, I mean, it's I like the use case for it a lot, and I think it has a lot of potential. I'm curious about the 3D printing a little bit. I'm not going to have you give away all your trade secrets on how you make these things.
Right.
But would you mind, is there a 3D printer that you've fallen in love with that you think works really well, that's stable? And
I am very spoiled in my 3D printer availability, because out of this community of makers and creators that I work with, we have probably a variety of about 10 different 3D printers, all different makes and models, so that we can teach people about the different features and skills of each one. So I have a favorite. I don't know if I'm allowed to blast them on here, but I do have a favorite. And
it's, we don't care unless they say you can.
Yeah. So Makers Toolworks makes several printers. They're actually kind of transitioning out of the ones I love and moving forward into some newer designs that they're coming out with. And they make a Create and a Create Express, and they're on the pricier end for people. But unfortunately, I learned on that printer and it just works. There's no other way to describe it. So that's my favorite. That's my baby.
That's cool. I love it. And that's a whole other episode at some point to delve into 3D printing. And,
absolutely.
We have a couple of friends on our show that are really big into that space. So maybe someday we'll have to kind of revisit that a little bit.
Absolutely.
Very cool. Do you have any other ideas for the future or things that you've been thinking about that you might want to delve into? Or how has this changed your trajectory?
So I have a different variety of label that I'm actually coming out with, and I have a few people across the country that are testing them out for me right now, but they're basically going to be an elastic-based, also 3D printed for boxes and cartons and bags of frozen foods and trade meats and all that kind of stuff. So I'm working on getting those ready for people. Unfortunately, there's just a way larger variety of those types of products. So So it's a little bit more in preparation to kind of get those generic things ready for people. But I'm excited about that and being able to basically label everything that you need. So, and then we're working on cleaning products and kind of adding some more of those essential life things. So I'm really excited about that.
Very cool. Well, thank you so much for coming on and telling us about your story and the CanDoable labels. Well, of course, people are going to want to know where they can get these. So go ahead and give away your website and contact info and email and whatever else you want to give
Absolutely. So you're able to see the full label list and all the labels available at candoable.co. You can send me an email if you have any trouble checking out. It's easy to remember. It's hello@candoable.co. Or I actually have a toll-free number and people can call if they don't have access to shopping online, and I can place the order for them. And that's 1-855-226-3641. And of course, you're able to connect with me online, Facebook, Instagram, all those.
Very cool. And of course, CanDoable. So it's just the three words smashed together.
Correct.
CanDoable. CanDoable.
Yep.
And .co.
.co.
The modern .co domains. Those are very cool.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming on, Lisa. I really appreciate you sharing some time with us.
Thank you so much for having me, and I really appreciate your support.
Tech and other stuff. You're listening to the BBQ.
Very cool stuff. I think that has a lot of potential. So thank you so much, Lisa, for coming on the podcast. You know, we're getting near the holidays. The time is coming near for getting those last minute gifts for yourself or others that you love. And while some of the Black Friday sales at AT Guys are gone, there are still lots of cool things going on. So anything from that blind shell phone, very popular cell phone for people who just want something simple with buttons. We have that. We're taking pre-orders for the Knut Braille display on AT Guys. And, of course, all the cool accessories that you love and know. The pluggable folding keyboards, the Tribbett Max Boom portable Bluetooth speaker, the wear-around tags for labeling things, and much more. ATGuys.com is the way to do it. Click on specials and you can see anything that's currently on sale as we're doing some sales throughout the holidays. And you can get some really cool deals there as well. So you go to ATGuys.com. You can email us at support@ATGuys.com or you can call 269-216-4798. And go back to last week's podcast, episode 201, where we went over a lot of the holiday things that we're doing. Like I said, some of those deals are over now, but you can still hear about all the great products that we have over at AT Guys. Up next, David Ward with a tip to help you take notes. Or should I say, take note of this tip from David Ward. Maybe that makes more sense, right? Well, whatever. It is what it is. Here's David.
Hello, you Blind Bargains listeners. This is David Ward with your Echo tip. I'm from the Echo Tips podcast and from the New Vision program at Goodwill, and we're just bringing you a handy little tip this week about something you can do with your Amazon Echo. And particularly, this is kind of neat. It's called notes, or the ability to take real quick nuggets of information, and your Echo can record them, and then you can come back and ask them about them later. So it's pretty awesome, pretty useful, and we're going to talk about how you can manage those as well. So first off, before I demonstrate how you would utilize this feature, we'll need you to shut your microphone off on your Echo, especially if you're listening to this podcast on your Echo. We don't want to trip your Echo up, have it respond while we're trying to give a command. So you'll look for that on your cylinder Echo on the top, or if you have a hockey puck like an Echo Dot, and you'll find a button with a silhouetted microphone that's exactly opposite of the button that has a bump on it, the action button. You'll press that and it'll make a thump sound and turn the ring red on top. If you have an Amazon Echo Show and the screen is facing you, along the top rim, there's three buttons, and it'll be the button on the far left, and it'll similarly make a thump sound. So I'll give you a second to do that. And then we'll proceed. All right, so now that you've had a chance to do that, we're going to proceed here. So let's give an example. Alexa, remember that John's teacher's name is Ms. Sally.
You want me to know John's teacher's name is Miss Sally, right?
Right.
Okay, noted.
So I gave her a note. The key phrase is either remember, or I could say create a note or whatever. And then at any time in the future, I can come back and say, Alexa, what's John's teacher's name?
This is what I found. John's teacher's name is Miss Sally.
Okay. So super, super powerful. And you could think about things like Wi-Fi passwords or different things you might use it for. You just, you know, you're washing dishes, you need to remember something. You can jot it down real quick. You know, let's give you another example. Alexa, make a note that Frank is going to China in September.
You want me to note Frank is going to China in September, right?
Right.
Okay, noted.
Alexa, when is Frank going to China?
Here's what I found. Frank is going to China in September.
Okay, so it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool that you can surface that information. So anyway, so how do you edit this? This is where the limitations might be. You can't verbally delete these notes yet. At least I couldn't find any easy way to do that. Although to be fair, the to-do and shopping list were that way originally as well. And now you have full control verbally of deleting them or clearing the entire thing. So at this time, and let me shut my Echo's ears off so I can say her name. You can open your Alexa app on your tablet or smartphone, go to the main menu in the top left corner, go down to lists and notes, and then you can navigate over to the notes section. And of course, you'll see the shopping and to-do list there too, but you want to go to the notes heading, and then that'll populate below there. You can go down and see from newest to oldest your notes, and there's a delete button to the immediate right of each one of those. So that's just a little tip for you Blind Bargains listeners this week. And it's time to turn your microphone back on, start practicing some of those things. Until that time, I'm David Ward for the New Vision program at Goodwill. And you can check out what I'm doing at either our website, goodwillvalleys.com/newvision, or listen to our Echo Tips podcast, where you get additional tips of things you can do on your Amazon Echo. But for right now, we're going to hand it back to JJ, and we thank you for listening.
Blind Bargains at the National Federation of the Blind of Colorado Convention. Hey, last year I came here and we found someone to interview, and I did again. Andrea Giudice is from a company called Unar Labs. Unar Labs is creating a really interesting way to use your smartphone to get spatial information and much more graphing and lots of different things. I'll let you explain it. Andrea, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
So I'm sure you have a much better elevator pitch than I do, so go ahead and tell us what you have.
I like yours, actually.
Okay.
So Unar Labs is a small, new tech startup, and what we are doing is addressing the information to access gap.
Okay.
And the way that we're doing that is by creating a software called Midlina, and that software is taking graphical information such as maps, graphs, charts, and other non-artistic graphical information and turning it into a multi-sensory, tactile, and audio experience on the fly. So, for example, if you had gotten up this morning and gone onto your smartphone, your iPhone, and you were looking at an article from the New York Times or some other paper, and embedded in that article was a graph, and all that you could experience as a blind person from that graph was a caption that said, graph that shows cell phone usage.
Not very useful.
Not very useful, and what you could do with Midlina on your phone is you would just tap on that graphic, and Midlina would jump into action, transform that graph into a tactile, through the haptics on your phone, the vibration, audio telling you what the bar graph is saying, the labels on that bar graph, and high contrast if you have some usable vision. As soon as you're finished reading the graph, you just right swipe, and it goes back into reading mode with your voiceover, and you go back to reading your article.
So this is in a prototype stage at the moment, correct?
Correct.
So what your company envisions is that companies, or say a newspaper or hotels, we'll talk about that in a minute, would subscribe or somehow create or have a way to create these graphs, and then they would embed it right in their apps, right?
They would have our software as a plugin.
Got you.
And the wonderful thing is that information access is important to everybody and different to everybody. So what's important to me, my information access go-to, and yours might be different. But at the end of the day, we all, anyone who is blind or visually impaired, is struggling with a lack of information access. And so with Midlina, whether it's in education, talking about learning geometry in class, or doing something that is a graph on the board or a map, whether it's navigation when you're approaching an intersection and you don't have any information about that intersection, or is there a right turn lane, which is huge. There are a lot of apps that can help us to know what intersection we're approaching. But there's nothing right now that can give us a real-time understanding of exactly what we're dealing with when we get to that intersection.
That's really interesting, especially for travel. You could see an existing GPS app perhaps subscribing to your service and then building that in as you're walking up to an intersection, and then it would pop up and,
exactly,
and give that data.
Exactly. So this is just, to me, game-changing. And it is interesting because when I got this job, and I've only been with Unar Labs for 2 months, and my friends, I told them, I got this great new job. I'm working for a tech startup. And they just laughed and laughed and said, you? You're working for a tech company? And I said, well, but my job is to tell a story. To tell a story about the lack of information access and how it can be changed. I don't know anything about the special sauce under the hood. That's not my job to make it, to understand how it happens. My job is to say it is happening. It will continue to happen. Especially if we can build partnerships with people in the community. End users, people who are blind and visually impaired who will be using this, O&M instructors, teachers of the visually impaired, teachers in the regular classroom who need to teach graphical information to people who are learning it non-visually. And then we're going to have this fabulous software, and it's going to be out there making the world a better place.
So I know you're not the programmer, so I'll try not to get too technical.
Yeah, please don't. I won't look good at all.
But as far as what it would take for a company to create these haptic, tactile images or accessible images, how much work is it involved on their end? Do they have to hire a programmer, or is it pretty simple for someone to go from a graphic to what you see on the app?
Well, that's the magic, and I believe that the company wouldn't have to do anything but have our software.
Wow.
So that's the magic.
Okay. Yeah, we'll definitely have to. I mean, that's where the time-consumingness, to make up a word, I guess, comes from when it comes to graphics. A lot of times the barrier is how much time it takes to translate
absolutely
a graphic into accessible
absolutely
formats.
And so we're doing that. So to learn more about us, so we decided that we needed people to know about us to get used to following vibrating lines on the phone, because that can be hard to do in the beginning. You're not used to doing that. So we created some games that are available at the App Store. And the reason we created games is not to be a gaming company, but because we felt pretty strongly that if we said to people, we've got this really cool thing, so if you can go to the App Store and start doing some geometry, you'll really learn about us. No one would do it. So we have three games. If you go to the App Store and look up Unar Labs, U-N-A-R Labs, you'll find we have three games. We have Tic-Tac-Toe.
Of course.
We have Adventures of Karna, which is a fun adventure game where you're helping a prince get back to his kingdom.
Okay.
And we have Memoria, which is a really fun memory game, which is the old matching game where you have to remember where things are. A game I could never play as a kid because it was always visual and I always wanted to. And now that I can, I love it. I play against my own time. I play against the phone. I have so much fun.
So are each of the objects traced on there? Or how does that work?
They're each traced. So when you follow the lines on the screen, there are boxes. Depending on the level you play, there might be four, eight, 16. And then as you bring your finger into the box, it will tell you what's in the box and it'll play a sound. It's either animals, instruments, or automobiles, and the sounds are really fun. And then you'll follow the boxes along the screen and the screen is broken into quadrants. And so if you're in the upper left-hand corner of the screen, you might hear an elephant. And then as you follow your finger along, you'll find other animals, and then you'll go to the next row and there'll be more.
Sure.
Figure out, have to remember where the next elephant is, and then you'll have to go back and tap the elephant in the upper left-hand corner. And you can play against your own, you can play against your own time. You play it, and then the next, you remember, oh, I did it in a minute, and then, oh, I did it in 95 seconds, or that's not right. I did it in 55 seconds. Mm-hmm. Or you can set a challenge against the phone, which is really cool. I've never won against the phone, which is very frustrating.
I'm going to have to try now.
I know. And so what we want is for people to go download these free games, play, learn, get comfortable with our platform, give us feedback, help us know how to be better. What would you, as a person using this technology, how would you like to see it differently? How would you like to use it? And then look for more as we get our software more and closer to being rolled out permanently, which we're looking at 2021 as being even better, sooner if it could happen, but 2021 when the whole thing is ready to go and we can start talking about realistic pricing and things like that. But in between now and then, there'll be a lot of beta testing on different types of games and different types of apps, and we need people to be willing to help us with that.
You have a few examples here in the booth. Tell me about some of the things that you are showing off to people as far as different demos.
One of them is really exciting. So I have in front of me a tactile map of the lobby of this hotel. And what I'm asking people as they come to the booth is, what was your experience in coming to the hotel here for this convention and finding the elevator? And what I've been hearing over and over again is, it was frustrating. It was difficult. It was a trial and error. And then further, what people have been saying to me is, I found the elevator, but that was all I knew. I knew how to get from the door to the elevator. And so often this is the case. There's not a sense of a spatial, the rest of the lobby. So it was so interesting when I showed people this tactile map. Now, a tactile map is great if you know how to read a map,
yep.
If you have the key, if you read Braille, and if you've got the expensive piece of equipment to create the tactile map. So now I also have on my phone the Unar Labs map of the lobby of the hotel using Medlina and our technology. And so when you trace that map, you are going to have the phone vibrating as you follow along. So your finger is actually the virtual you, and you're walking along. It starts you at the entrance and then tells you at each intersection, it tells you what's going to happen. So it tells you that you have the intersection of, it's a two-way intersection, and if you go right, you go to reception, and if you go left, you go to the cafe. So now you have all this information. You know that there's a cafe, you know where that cafe is in relation to the door, and you know where reception is in relation to the door. And that's huge information that is very useful and very important.
Is the map on the screen still available visually as well?
It is available visually, tactily, and audibly.
So
I like audibly. I like audibly. That's a good word.
Yeah, why not? So if a hotel chain, say, wanted to provide maps of their building, they can provide a map that works for everyone. This is not just a specialized map for the blind.
Correct.
They could provide one map.
They could provide one map and everyone could use it. And my understanding, and again, I'm not an expert at this, but I believe that these maps are available already. They have to be because we accessed one to do this for this convention. And it wouldn't just be for the lobby. Potentially, it could be for the entire hotel.
Sure.
The room layout, the floors with the rooms, and even the room layout. And it could be expanded to airports and train stations and anywhere that has, so many places have a schematic of their building. It's just whether or not it's available. But more and more things are, at least for someone who is a sighted person, so why not expand that?
Absolutely. A lot of really cool stuff here. This will be definitely an interesting one to follow. I guess one more question. As far as devices, you have this on an iPhone. Do you find that a larger screen phone or, say, an iPad works better for this, or would it depend on the person?
It does depend on the person. Unfortunately, we're only on iOS right now. We'd right. like to be on Android, but we're not. Mm-hmm. Some people find that the larger phone, in fact, that's why I'm not even using a plus-size iPhone. It's too big. The gesturing and the actual layout is too big.
Oh, wow.
And they get lost in the process of following the map. Some people, a lot of it is preference, but we have found that more people seem to prefer the typical size or the non-plus size phones and the non-iPads.
Oh, and that's partly why you're at these conventions, right? To get some of this feedback and
Absolutely.
Figure out what works.
I take all this feedback and give it to the big bosses, and they take all this stuff and put it into formulas and come up with great answers. But check us out, Unarlabs, UNARLABS.com. Give me an email at andrea.unarlabs@gmail.com. And I really want to hear from people. And what would you want to see in information access? What does that mean to each of you?
Go play those games as well.
Exactly. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Andrea.
What do we want? BBQ! When do we want it? Now! What do we want? BBQ! How do we want it? Now!
You're listening to the Blind Bargains Cast.
That's going to do it. Episode 202, a BBQ Bites format. I know we do these from time to time. I hope you like them. Try to change things up from here and there. So, you know, it's kind of like leftover Thanksgiving. There's the one Tupperware left. You never know what's going to be in it. Well, hopefully you have some idea of what was going to be in it. But you just don't know. So let us know what you think, or interviews you'd like to hear, things you'd like to hear demoed. Yes, I know the Color Star. It's still coming. It's still coming. Someone just asked me about that a few weeks ago, and I believe that is still coming, and still some other games and things to play with as well. Feedback at blindbargains.com. Please rate us and subscribe on your favorite podcast app, whether it's iTunes or Google Podcasts or Spotify or whatnot. We really do appreciate your support on the Blind Bargains Cast. Just a couple more until Christmas. I don't know what we're doing next week, but we have some cool things in store. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. We'll see you next time.
This has been another Blind Bargains audio podcast. Visit blindbargains.com for the latest deals, news, and exclusive content. This podcast may not be retransmitted, sold, or reproduced without the express written permission of AT Guys.
Copyright 2019.